You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome you no matter where you're at. Maybe you're listening on the radio someplace or on the computer. We welcome you to the program, and Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida. We have, it's almost 22 years, it will be in January, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and God gave us the name out of Revelation 19:10 to worship God. Hallelujah.
For the testimony
of Jesus, or Yeshua, is what?
The Spirit of prophecy.
So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're honored to be here with you every week, and it's a pleasure to share the things from the Word of God that He gives us. And so we just want to encourage you. I'm just thinking about being encouraged a little
bit.
We encourage you because we have a lot of things going on, not only in our country, but in the world as well. So we need the encouragement of the Lord because we belong to Him, hallelujah. And I just keep saying there's no weapon formed against us is going to prosper in any shape or form. And so we just thank you, Lord, for being here with us today.
Amen.
And we release all the listeners right now, whoever's listening or reading maybe or whatever.
That's right.
We just release it to them right now in Yeshua's mighty name. They'll have the voice of the Lord. They'll hear what He wants them to hear. We thank You for the prompting of the Holy Ghost and everything that we know. And You'll show us even more things, even things to come. You told us that. And so we thank You for that. So we release every listener here today to the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost to have prophetic ears to hear what the Lord's going to speak to you today during this time we have with You on the radio. And so, Father, we just release everyone, including myself and Pastor Don across the desk with me. And so we
thank
You for everything that You're doing. And we know that we have the victory because You did. So we thank You for that in Jesus or Yeshua's name. So, Pastor Don, you got a couple announcements you want to make there?
Amen. Well, you know, everyone loves prophecy, Pastor Gene.
Yeah, I know.
But we don't all understand everything, do we?
No.
But as we seek the Lord, He gives us more and more and more, especially as we see these days coming closer to the end of time.
We're getting there fast.
You know, coming closer to the end of time. God even gives us a warning in the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
In the beginning. So here we have all these things. And so God, that's what the name of our church is, Spirit of Prophecy. And we love prophecy as well. And we want to know the truth. The Bible says the truth will make us
free. Hallelujah.
And so when you're free,
You're free indeed.
Amen.
That's right.
And no devil can deceive you. No person can deceive you. When you know the truth will set you free, make you free. So we are blessed to be here, and we're excited about this new year. Well, you say, well, it's not New Year's yet. Yes, it is New Year's. We are now in the Jewish year of 5775, and this is a new year. And so, talking about prophecy, we want to be on God's
timetable.
And that, so when you're on God's timetable, on His year, then you know what? You are ahead of the rest of the people that won't say it's New Year's until January 1st.
That's right.
So we're on God's timetable, we can do all God's called us to do because we're doing it under the unction of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. not under what man would say, oh, it's a new year, I got to make a new commitments. I got to make some, you know, go on a diet. I got to do this, I got to do that, which, you know what, people never do keep. But we want to, we love prophecy, and God speaks to us through His Word.
A lot of people in the church don't like prophecy, but they should.
And He's never changed. You know,
that's right.
When we also believe in personal prophecy, God speaks to people,
that's right,
and gives them personal prophecies, which help us, to encourage us. Prophecies, what's it for? To encourage us, edify us, to
build us up,
to give us direction,
that's,
you know,
right,
and keep us from making mistakes. And, you know, just hearing the voice of the Lord. That's not necessarily prophecy, but in a way it is, because God gives us even warnings of things to come.
That's right.
What if there's an accident around the corner? God gives you a warning. Wouldn't you call that sort of a prophecy? I would.
Yeah.
God
Try
gives
to go
you
another way. Yeah.
God gives you warnings. He gives us directions. But we have to learn to listen to Him. We have to learn to hear His voice, which is so important, to know how to hear His voice. And I know we all miss it from time to time, and probably more missing it than we do hear Him. But we need to press in and to try to hear the voice of the Lord. Because you know what? The voice of the Lord is powerful. It says that, what, in Psalm 27?
Mm-hmm.
How many times does He say that?
Psalm 29.
29.
It says seven times that the word of the Lord is powerful.
It's power. So
sure.
We need the power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, we do.
And we need the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to mention that we do have, like Pastor said, we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And then we have Friday night services at 7 p.m. And we spend time seeking God's presence and having communion. And we honor the Sabbath.
That's right.
Amen. We're Christians. People say, why do you do that? Well, we're born-again Christians, and God set up the Sabbath back in the book of Genesis.
So we got
to go back
that.
To the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so he never changes. He says, he changes not. And so, and we also celebrate the first day of the week. See, the first day of the week, some people may call it their Sabbath because they don't work on that day, or they don't go to work.
Or they go to church on that day. Yeah.
But actually, the Sabbath has always been on Saturday.
That's right.
It starts Friday evening at sunset.
Seventh day of the week, right.
And goes 24 hours till Saturday evening at sunset. And then we come together on Saturday, and we have Bible study, and we're starting a new class called Teaching on Boundaries. Everyone
Hallelujah.
Needs to have healthy boundaries. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people talk about boundaries in their life. But, you know, there's boundaries in the spirit.
Sure are.
And
yeah.
The Lord has shown me that, because we need to stay in their spiritual boundaries as well.
Amen.
And some people are lone rangers, and they want to do what they want to do, so they're
That's
out
right.
of boundaries.
That's right.
So we all need to have healthy boundaries. But it's not just boundaries for our living or for decisions and things we do in the natural. But the spiritual boundaries, I feel, are even more powerful and more important than other kinds of boundaries. You know, you put a fence around your yard, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
People put boundaries to keep their dog in, right? Well, that's to keep the dog from getting harm. People put boundaries on their children. Well, you know, there's good boundaries.
That's
and
right.
We need to know that. Amen. So boundaries are really made to protect us, to keep us in a safe place, because
mm-hmm.
God wants to keep us in a safe place. But when we get out of God's boundaries, we're walking a dangerous line, because we're off of the narrow path.
That's right.
You know, the Bible says narrow is the way.
That's right.
Narrow is the way. And that's just been coming to my heart. And, we saw that movie, Left Behind. Well, not everyone who says they're
Lord,
a Christian.
Lord, yeah.
Right. What did Jesus say?
Not everyone says
called me Lord, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I don't know you.
That's right.
And so only those who are on the narrow way are going to be the ones who are going to be in heaven.
He called them workers of iniquity.
And the rest of
That's
them,
right, the
and,
ones
he, and he says there's many, many who are on the path of destruction, and that means hell.
Yeah, and even related with, casting out devils, prophesying.
Yeah. That's
he
right.
He says, I don't know you.
You're doing good things.
But you're not doing a lot of bad things. He says you're committing iniquity. It means lawlessness. You know, they're not doing what God says according to the Word of God.
And you know, a lot of people now, and you talked about this, a lot of these different kinds of churches that are popping up. A lot of people now are even preaching there's not really a hell.
That's right.
It's just, what do you call it? It's not a real place, you know.
It's a temporary abode, some of them believe.
Right.
You'll be there a short while and then they get out.
The Bible says it's forever.
It's forever.
It's forever.
That's what the Bible
and it was created for Satan and the fallen angels.
Not for mankind.
But there's going to be probably more fallen people in hell than there are
It's the way it looks right now, the way things are going. That's right.
So and so we also have this teaching on boundaries, and that's on Saturday at 4 o'clock. And we also have dance ministry, which is really exciting. We have children and adults, and we need some men dancers. Amen. You know, David danced like, he really danced before the Lord. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just dancing is one thing. You go out and dance somewhere, you know, or you and I might hear an old song back from the 50s or the 60s, and we might try to dance. We don't really dance, but we just kind of move around. Shuffle our feet around. Well, that's a different kind of dance, you know. That's not the kind of, that's romantic dance. That's man and woman dance. I'm talking about David. He danced before the Lord because he loved the Lord God with all his heart.
Amen.
And so we need some men dancers that are sold out to God.
That's right.
Sold out to God. That's not very many
men. It's not a female thing, is it?
That are sold out to God. No, so that dance class is really wonderful. And that's every Saturday also at 2 o'clock. But you need to call if you want to get part of that. So, and you don't have to go to our church to learn how to do that. And we have a wonderful dance teacher, and she just loves the Lord, and she takes you into the prophetic dance.
That's right.
Not just the ballet and all the other stuff. No, into how to worship the Lord.
Sure.
You know, you can teach a little 3-year-old how to worship the Lord, how to fall before the Lord. Your worship may start in dance, but you may end up on your knees on the floor crying out to God.
Amen.
Anyways, we just have a good time at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so, you know, I know a lot of you love the radio program, but if you want to call us and you want to come visit us sometime, you're welcome to. And of course, this Saturday, we're having our banquet for our Bible Reading Marathon, and that's exciting. And the Bible Reading Marathon, if you haven't heard about it, you need to mark your calendars. November the 19th, we'll start reading the Bible for the 14th time. Here in Martin County, downtown Stewart, and we'll be reading towards Jerusalem, and we'll be reading for 90 continuous hours. So keep us in prayer. That's a long time. And we need a lot of readers. People call and they sign up to read for 15 minutes. You can come and read by yourself. You can bring a friend. You can bring your family. You can bring your children. And it's just a wonderful time to stand out there in the open air. Wow, in the beautiful Memorial Park, facing Jerusalem, and read the Bible, the entire Bible. Some people just come to sit and listen and soak.
That's right.
You soak in the Bible. Can you imagine? I can sit there for 90 hours and just listen to God's Word.
You can stay awake that long.
Well, I probably listen to at least half of the Bible, I would say. We do.
And we're down there a long time every day.
I really don't read a lot of it, but I sit there and I soak it in and I listen to half the Bible. I got my Bible open, going through the pages as we go. And it is a wonderful, wonderful ministry to the Lord. You know, this is a ministry to the Lord, this Bible Reading Marathon.
Right. It's a church event.
And it's
a church, not a church. The church event.
People come from all over.
Yeah.
Different churches. It's the body of Christ. That's what it is. It's the body of Christ. See,
Amen.
There's not going to be any place in heaven that says the Baptists are here and the Catholics are here and the
Presbyterian
are here. This is their quarters and this is their quarters and this is your quarters. No, we're one.
That's right.
The Bible says we're one in Yeshua. We're one in Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful time. So if you can possibly set some of that time apart to come down and maybe read for 15 minutes or just sit, come and listen, or just come and enjoy the park. Bring a sandwich, come and enjoy the park. And it's just a wonderful atmosphere. And, you know, many things happened. Many things have happened there over the years, 14 years. So if you can't come, please keep us in prayer.
Right.
Keep us in prayer.
Amen.
Amen. So we're blessed to be here. I'm going to give our telephone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that again. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's right.
See, we're 007 agents for God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you. As we mentioned, hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're probably going to talk about a couple of things here today, but it's interesting. A pastor that we know quite well called or sent us a text this week and asked about the land called Edom.
Well, he just mentioned, says, you know, do you know about this? Kind of interesting about the land of Edom. You
so
know,
he was referring. He was referring to from the book of Obadiah.
Obadiah.
And if you read over there in Obadiah, we have the word violence mentioned quite a few times.
Violence.
And we've shared this on the program. If you look that word up in the Hebrew, it's a word that's spelled H-A-M-A-S, which is Hamas, which is what the Muslim thing, what's going on over there.
Hamas.
So what I wanted to mention here was this. You know, the land that Edom occupied at that time is still there. It might have a different name, but the territory is still there, and those spirits are still hanging around. They're still there.
That's right.
And so we know, if you study the Bible, that even King Herod was an Edomite. So he came
look
from
what
that,
he did.
And look what he killed, all the babies. Well, think what we got going over there right now in the Middle East, okay? They're taking and killing in that same territory, all over through there. They're killing babies, young children and babies, because their parents happen to be Christians, okay? So we have the same spirit of death that was back way back then, is still operating today. And so we need to pray and ask God to just to bind that thing and stop it somehow, because these innocent babies are being killed. It's incredible what they're doing to them. They're chopping them up in pieces. They're doing all kinds of things, you know.
But that shows us that the spirits don't die.
That's right, they
and
don't.
And so they rise back up. Sometimes they kind of like lay dormant.
For a while, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just like a seed. Yeah. You know, you can have a seed lay dormant for a mm-hmm. long, long time, but that doesn't mean there's not life in that seed. Talking in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm, those spirits do not die. And so here I got a picture, and I got a picture from Israel. It was a 3 month
old baby
that was slaughtered.
That's
killed.
Right. It was killed.
And that's to me, I think, you know, oh, it just breaks your heart. But this is, the enemy is working, and the enemy, see, God, these things repeat themselves.
They sure do.
These things, we're talking about a cycle, and we're in a cycle of violence in this world right now.
That's right.
The spirits that have been let out, the Bible even talks about these spirits will be let out in the last day.
Yeah.
And these spirits have been released from wherever they were.
That's right.
Dormant
to
from.
Find someone,
you know,
they can operate
and
through again.
And so it's like, you know, I got a bunch of, say, corn seeds in a jar. Well, they're just sitting there. They're not doing nothing.
Do you put it in the ground?
But when you let it, when I take it out of that jar and I let it out, and you know, you really don't have to do much to it to get before it comes, before it starts. You see something, a little bit of water, right? And all of a sudden, it's released. And so once this spirit has been released, you know what? It's like it's moving, like an octopus.
That's right.
And it's grabbing things, and it's got these tentacles.
Yeah.
And it's like they're all around Israel. And they're not just all around Israel. Now they're around the world, because they've stretched out their
yeah.
tentacles to pull in and to destroy and to tear, to destroy. What God doesn't want destroyed, but it, and even in our nation, see,
yeah.
they're not just isolated in an area around Israel now. Now it's spread out. It's like
all through the Middle
East.
It's
like a sickness. It's right. almost like the emboli they're talking about.
Right. It is a sickness.
And that, even if you look at that emboli, that virus, it looks like a reptile. It looks like a serpent, and so. It's and it reminds me of the scripture where it talks about if you crush the snake,
you crush the snakes, what, the eggs,
you
the
kill,
more they more come out.
They come out.
They come
and
out.
And so you know what, you can't catch
you
them.
You multiply
all.
Them, in other
it
words.
It multiplies. And so, boy, we really need to be on fire for the Lord. And that's
Amen.
One of the words the Lord gave us, is right. we got to stay on fire for the Lord.
I'm reminded in Revelation chapter 13 where it talks about the seven heads
mm-hmm.
with the 10 horns. And it goes on down, and it tells you that one of those heads was wounded as unto death. Well, it's not the false Messiah being killed. One of those kingdoms, all right, was wounded as unto death. In other words, it was put down for a while, and like you just said, it's laying dormant, but it's coming back. And I believe with all my heart that it's going to be the Muslims trying to put this caliphate back in place, because it was put down in 1924 with the Ottoman Turks, okay?
Right.
Well, it's rising its ugly head. It's going to come
it's
back,
coming
so
back.
It's going to be revived. And so we've got to keep our eyes open.
So it looks like it's dead.
But it's not dead.
But
the spirit
not.
Is still there. The
it's
spirit
just,
does not die.
It's
That's
just,
right.
You could just think it's dead.
That's right.
But it's not there. I mean, but it's not dead.
That's right.
Well,
so I want to talk about a couple of things, and then Donna's got a couple of things she wanted to mention too. But I was thinking about this week again about this thing called Babylon. Now I want to start off, and we're going to come back to Jeremiah 51, but I want to go to Revelation 18 just to read a couple three verses with you.
Okay.
And we're going to see how this spirit is still hanging around. And I pray that America will not be part of this in the future. Now, Revelation 18:1 says this. And after these things, this is John the Apostle, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now here's the key verse. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen. It says it twice. And the Bible reveals that Babylon's going to fall twice. We're going to show you this. It's fallen. And it's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. We in this country, we've allowed all these religious groups from all over the world come into this nation. Amen?
And we're still allowing it.
That's right.
And so, we're allowing more and more and more
come in. That's right. And the borders are open. Verse 3 says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Verse 4, I'll stop there. I'm going to read two more verses. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people." He's talking to the Jewish people at the end in Jacob's trouble. "That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Verse 6 now, "Reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her," double, hear this, two times, "according to her works in the cup which she hath filled with her double." Now, one more verse in Revelation chapter 17. Verse 4 says, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color," the one that was on this beast, huh? "And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." Now listen, "having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Now, this is going to happen in the last of the days in the time called Jacob's trouble. Now I want to go over to Jeremiah 51 with you, and I want to show you this, how this is going to be showing the first Babylon that will be destroyed, and Revelation 18 shows us the second Babylon that's going to be destroyed. And I pray that America won't be deeply involved. It looks like we're getting more involved with it all the time, and so that spirit that's around can also affect this nation as well. So it says this in Jeremiah 51, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them, that rise up against me a destroying wind." Donna's been talking about the whirlwind. Now, "and I will send into Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about." For in the day of their trouble, it's going to be Jacob's trouble and this is all going to happen. But it also happened way back. We've talked about here, Jacob's trouble is going to be at the end. We just read that in Revelation 18. But this is referring to way back when the Babylonians took over and what happened. All the trouble that Israel had, they went into captivity and all that because of their sin and rebellion against God. Now let's go on. Verse 3, "Against him that bendeth, let an archer bend his bow, and against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine," it means his armor, "and spare ye not her young men, destroy her utterly, all her hosts. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans." The Chaldeans is the Babylonian people. "And they that are thrust through in her streets. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God." You hear that? God will never forsake them.
Amen.
"Of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel." Flee out of the, here we go. Same thing as Revelation 18:4. "Flee out of the midst of Babylon." This was way back, okay?
Wow.
"And deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her recompense." Babylon, now this verse here is relating with Revelation 17:4. "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad." This is talking about the Gentile nation. They're mad. They're going to be insane or deranged. Okay. Now verse 8. "Babylon is suddenly fallen." This is the first one. The first falling. "And destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her pain. If so be she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she's not healed. Forsake her and let us go every one into his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness." Talk about Israel now. "Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes." We know the Medes took over the Babylonians. "For his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple." So this is declaring the first destroying or tearing down of the Babylonian spirit, okay?
Right.
Well, we know Babylon got conquered by the Medes. And so it was put down at one time. But now we see in the book of Revelation, we talked about in Revelation 18, that ugly head's going to be there again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear if we look at that, you know, that there's going to be another Babylon destroyed. I want to show you one more thing. I'm going to let Pastor Donna talk here a moment or two. I want to go back to Revelation, and I want to go to verse chapter 13, I think, where I want to go. Turn my pages here. Yeah, listen to this now. In the first verse, he talks about this beast that's going to come up. It's going to have 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, verse 2 is the key one. It says, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. So we know that Daniel told us that the leopard represented the nation of, or the empire of the Greece. And his feet were like the feet, as a feet of a bear. Well, that was the Medes and the Persians.
Right.
And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. That was the Babylonians revealed in Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And the dragon, which is Satan, gave him what? His power and his seat and great authority. So when this spirit comes, this Babylonian one especially, well, it's going to be put down. But think about this. The spirit that's going to be there during Jacob's trouble during this terrible time on the earth will have a portion of three different spirits that will be there. The spirit that was behind Greece, the one that was behind the Medes and the Persians, and the one especially behind the power that was with the Babylonians at that time. And then verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. It's going to be revived again. It's not this. It's not that Antichrist is going to be killed and be resurrected. You know, the Bible makes it clear no one can raise the dead except for God. Satan can't raise the dead.
That's right.
And all the world wondered after the beast. So we see these terrible spirits here, and Babylon is so key here. So that's why Revelation 18 says, Babylon has fallen. It's so key. Amen. And so we see that, and so we see where both of them are. But I'm, as I mentioned, I'm praying that America, that we're slowly drifting that way, because we're like a bird cage. We let every kind of wild bird come into our country that's demonic and with paganism and all the rest of it, and we have all this, and so we have to keep praying for our nation. And we're right in the middle of this, and so, you know, I can't just say that America is Babylon, but we can certainly be a big part of that because what we're doing. Amen, Pastor Don?
That's right.
Glory, so I want to share that with you up front to give you some things to pray about, because
so
we're,
this is
we're
the
coming
word Hamas
down.
Means.
Hamas. Yeah, means violence.
About means violence.
And sure.
I wonder how many times this is mentioned in the Bible.
Quite a few times.
A lot, and didn't a lot of the prophets talk about this?
About violence, that's right.
About violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see the word violence, we know it means
Hamas.
Hamas. Yes. And so we know what Hamas means. We are hearing enough about it on
God's
the news,
giving you
aren't
a foreshadow
we?
About the spirit that's going to be there from that group of people. Where were they at? They were all in that same area that's called Iraq today.
Iraq.
It used to be called what? Persian,
Turkey.
It's all there.
It's all there.
Yeah.
And you look at one of the old maps and you'll see how much of that empire.
That's right.
Oof. What was that empire called? Well, one time it was the Ottoman.
The Ottoman Empire.
Empire.
That's right. That was a Turkish Ottoman Empire, which was all Islamic.
Which covered, it was all Islamic.
Covered
and
a lot.
Covered, oh, my heavens. I don't know how many acres it covered, but
that's right.
a lot of land. And even those are the places it even talks about in Genesis where the some of these rivers, the heads of these rivers went into. You know?
That's right.
It's just, and here we are. We're right back where we were from the beginning.
Almost.
We're seeing what happened.
That's
if
right.
We look in the book of Genesis, we're seeing places, and we're hearing about places that are of old, you know, and people of old. But, you know, that spirit is still there.
That's right.
That spirit, you know, I'm reading the book of Genesis, and, you know, there was generation after generation after generation, and only a few of them followed the Lord. Not
yeah.
They didn't all follow the Lord. You know, you could have, back in those days, you lived to be, say, 700 years old. I could have a lot of children.
Sure could.
And I may only have one that's going to follow the seed that would go to the Messiah.
That's right.
And like Eve did. Eve only had, each generation there was just one. And that's why they call it the generations. The
mm-hmm.
generations of. And so, It's really, we are in that day of judgment. And one of the readings for this year is, for this week, actually, and because we're having, we are going back to the beginning. See, this is the year 5775, right?
On the Hebrew calendar.
We're in the Hebrew calendar. And you know, if you've been listening to us long time, very long, you know that we look at prophecy through the feasts of the Lord. Pastor Gene has a commentary. He's studied many, many, many years, and he has a commentary. And that commentary covers every feast in the Bible, plus it also covers the Sabbath. You
right.
need to understand that. It also covers the calendar. We need to be on God's calendar.
That's right.
And so the year, this right now, we are now in a new year. We don't have to wait till January, because prophetically, we want to stay on God's timetable, not on the world's timetable.
Amen.
See, the world is going to, things are going to happen in the world. But God, things with God and things in heaven, those things are not going to change. because God has a plan. And he sets his plan up right in the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. You know, he sets up, he even sets up, shows even a picture of heaven when they were put in the Garden of Eden.
So we can't mix them up, can we?
They were put in a perfect place. They were taken out of the world system, which was outside of the garden. They were put into a good place, a blessed place, where all they had to do was keep one commandment.
One commandment. They couldn't do that.
Law.
One commandment.
One word. They had to keep one word. If you don't even want to call it a commandment or a law, one word. They couldn't keep one word that God said.
It was a commandment.
It was a commandment.
He said, don't do it.
And he didn't even say, don't touch. His wife said, don't touch. But he said, or the enemy too as well, she said, no, he said not to even touch it. But that's not what God says. He said, don't eat from it. Don't eat that fruit. In the day that you eat that fruit, you're going to know good and evil. See, they didn't know evil before then.
That's right.
They didn't know evil.
They were in a period of innocence, weren't they?
It was innocence. That's right. And they were in a place of perfect peace where they could walk with God in the midst of the day.
In the garden and hear him talk to them.
In the cool of the evening.
Boy.
And, there was no storms, no rain. There was a mist above and a mist below. And, you know, everything was just
perfect.
Perfect. It was perfect. It was a perfect place that anyone would want to live. So, but they were disobedient to that one word, and so they were cast out of that garden forever. And you know what? There was cherubims put there to keep them from going back in, because before the flood, the garden was still there.
Yep.
So before the flood, Noah's flood, the garden was still there, and they could have gone back in. And I think about now, and it says it was at the east.
Mm-hmm.
The east. They were put at the east. What's at the east gate right now in Israel?
That golden gate's blocked up with blocks, yeah.
And it was
Muslims did it.
See that perversion right there?
That's right.
That's blocked up because they have heard that Messiah is going to come through that wall. Well, they think they can stop it.
That gate, yeah.
That gate. And they have, and out in front of that gate, it's nothing but tombs.
That's right. How foolish can you be that a wall is going to stop the Lord from coming?
And they know the Messiah won't walk through tombs, but who says he's even going to walk? Because there's not even a bridge there right now. And you know, he went through doors, didn't he?
Yep.
He went through walls. I mean, he can just go right through that gate and crush it.
There used to be a bridge over that valley,
and people walked over there. And you know, when he does go through there, many of those people that were in those, I think we saw so many of them. Some of those graves are like big. What do you call it? Monuments, huge monuments. Yeah. Was Samuel's there? I think Samuel's was there, and you know, these people aren't even. They're gonna arise. It says the dead in Christ, the dead, those who were in faith. Well, of course, we know the Jewish people, they didn't know Jesus Christ, but they walked in faith and in holiness. You know, and seeking God, that the dead in Christ, they're gonna rise. You know, so it's Jesus isn't worried about a bunch of tombstones. That's nothing. It's just bricks. You know, but here you had that east. Those gates were the angel, and now it's blocked up. You know, the enemy, he just tries to do things, but you know, the enemy's such a liar. And the Bible says he's a liar from the beginning. He lied to Eve right there in the garden, didn't he?
Yep, and he's still lying today.
He lied to Eve. And so what we're doing is we get back into getting on God's timetable, and God's timetable is starting to read. And every Jewish people, all the Jewish people do this now. And every synagogue, they read the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. They read it during the whole year, and they have a plan. And the plan is, like for this week that started, it started last week, went right after Simchat Torah. The reading was Genesis 1:1 through
Chapter
Genesis 6:8.
Right.
So that's only less than six chapters you read for the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other readings also. The half Torah would be Isaiah 42 and to 43:11. And then they call the Brit, it would be John, which is from the New Testament.
Yes,
would be John 1:1 through 14. So that's the reading for the whole week. And you could read this every day. You could take it and read a little bit every day, however you want to do it. But as you do this, you're going to go through the whole Bible as far as from Genesis to Deuteronomy, the first five books, you go through all, it'll take you a year. And so you can get a lot of prophetic understanding, and I think when we get on that kind of timetable, because, you know, we can know how, even know how to pray better for the Jewish people, and God's going to show us more things.
So we're supposed to read these verses every single day during the week, aren't we?
Every day during the week, you read the verses. It's called the Bereshit.
Right.
And the whole book of Genesis, there's 50 chapters in the book of Genesis, and the whole book is called the Bereshit. I'm going to explain to you what that means in a minute. And it's divided up into 12 sections. Well, we all know what it says at the first verse and beginning. It says, in the beginning. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God. So we know God. God, that God there is Elohim. That's a plural for the Father, the Godhead. See, the King James Bible is the only one that says Godhead. So in the beginning, Elohim, God, the Godhead, the triune God, created what? Created the heaven and the earth. So right there it tells us he created everything. Everything. And so that word Bereshit means in the beginning. And of course,
that's what Genesis means, right?
That's what it means, in the beginning. In the beginning. And so the word Bereshit means at the start, in the beginning, or at the head. Now I think about at the head.
Rosh.
In the word Bereshit is the word Rosh, yeah. Which means head.
Yeah.
So that brings me back to what it says in the New Testament where it says Godhead. And see, you've taught on this a lot, Pastor Gene. These other Bibles don't use the word Godhead.
They use divine nature or divine being. Okay, that could be anything.
Does that really make it clear?
Nope, Godhead makes it clear.
When we know what the Godhead is, and even when people are baptized, we need to be baptized in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Or you could say the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave Jesus out.
That's right.
It's not just Jesus only. You know, God, Jesus has a Father. The Father, the Son,
and the Spirit of God. Huh?
And the Holy Ghost.
They're all part of it.
So that's Elohim. That's the Godhead right there. So here we have this word head. So we have to stay under the head of which the Bereshit, the head, the beginning. We have to always go back to the beginning, and God's going to show us more things. So I think that is very important that we understand that, you know. And God said it was good.
That's right.
How many times did he say it was good?
Six times, huh?
Right. Tov. T-O-V is good in Hebrew. So God said it was Tov.
And on the sixth day, he said it's very good.
And he said it was very good. And I'm not sure how to say the word very in Hebrew. I'll have to learn that one. I've been told it, but I don't really remember exactly what it is. You know, we don't know a lot of Hebrew, but God, if we learn a little bit and we start to learn the Hebrew alphabet, and we have a calendar, which many of you have asked for the calendar, and the calendar has all the letters of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, which is 22 letters. It has all those letters, and every single letter has a meaning. Every single stroke has a meaning. Every single letter has a number. And so when we begin to understand these things, see, the very first letter in the word Bereshit is the B, or the letter which represent the B. And the B stands for the number 2. Well, who is the second person of the Godhead? Yeshua, Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the Aleph. Well, who is the Father? The Aleph. And even if you can do all the strokes in that first letter, Aleph, which really has no sound. It's almost like a hush. It's just silent. It's a silent letter. So, you know, God is quiet in many areas, isn't he?
Right.
He wants us to dig in his word and get the truth. But so the Aleph is also in this word Bereshit. So here we have the Father and the Son, and then we have the Holy Ghost. You know, we have the Godhead. And so the first letter is the B, and it's the B stands for a house. So what are we called?
We're called a house.
We're the house or the temple. The temple is a house of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, when we get back to these things and we start to understand a little bit more of the what the Jewish letters mean and what the different and what it means. And so the Aleph is 1 and the Bet is 2 and the Gimel is 3. So their alphabet is also their numbering system. So here we have all these wonderful things that we can find out about God. that Elohim, it says right there, it makes it quite clear, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens
and the earth.
The earth. And he said it was Tav. Good.
Good.
Very good.
He Sixth said day it was very good
very,
when he created man.
Very good.
That's right.
And he placed them in a garden. Mm-hmm. And you know what else I thought was interesting, Pastor Gene? People say, well, about Noah. Even in the very first chapter 1, it even talks about God. He makes it quite clear that he created great whales.
That's right, because he says it has the word whales in here.
He had a reason for it, putting right. this in here. I mean, he could have said great dinosaurs. He didn't say that. He says
whales.
And God created great whales. So, well, you know, there had to be a great whale to swallow up
Jonah.
At one time. And people say, well, that's just a story, you know. That's just nope. I really believe what the Bible says. I believe Jonah was in that belly of that whale for 3 days and three nights. And he finally, because he was a very disobedient prophet, and he didn't want to do what God called him to do. And how many people are like that today? We can relate our lives to that today. We can read the word, read the book of Jonah, and we can read the book of, Nahum.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see that there's a lot of things like that's going on today, even in the church. People don't want to be obedient. They don't want to submit to authority. They don't want to do what God says to do, you know. Even worship, you know. Men don't want to worship. How many men really worship the Lord? Most of the people who really move into worship are women. Why aren't the men the ones who are leading the worship? You know, David was the one leading the worship. David wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't ashamed.
Nope.
To
jump and shout, took his shirt off and
worship God with all his might.
He abandoned himself.
Yes, and men need to do that. You know, once you got to let loose of the, it's like a control thing, you know. We got to let loose and let God move us into the things of worship. You know, once you do that, then you're free. See, that's the problem.
We bind machoism.
People aren't free.
That's right.
They're not free to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So we see here in the very first book that God created man in his own image.
That's right.
His own image. And it also says here, it says, let us make man, doesn't it? God spoke to him. God said, let us make man. So who's the us? Here we have the Godhead. We go right back here to the Elohim. We have the Godhead. We have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So here we have Jesus. You know, Jesus has always been with God.
Some circles in Judaism believe that those were angels instead
Some believe they were angels.
Instead of angels Father, created, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
No, it was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've got to go back to the Godhead. See, that's where people don't understand or they misinterpret. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to come, and he will teach you what? All things. So if we're really seeking the Lord and we're really seeking truth, I believe God will show us things that maybe we've read maybe 100 times, and then all of a sudden God will open your eyes to see. Just like the Jewish people, they may have read the book of Isaiah, chapter 52 and 53, and in that area. And then all of a sudden, well, when they get to that reading this year, maybe their eyes will be opened
up. To
the Messiah, because many Jewish people believe in Messiah now. Look at the people, even though we see on TV, we see Jonathan Cahn. He is a Jewish man, full-blown Jewish man.
Sure, amen.
Amen. And he speaks in Hebrew. He's born again. He believes that Jesus Christ is Yeshua, the Lord and Savior. He's baptized with the Holy Ghost and prays in tongues. He wrote the book, The Harbinger. He wrote the book, what's the name of the other one that we read?
The Mystery of the Shemitah.
If we understand, we are right now in the year of the Shemitah. Would just understand that.
We are
in the year of the Shemitah, and this is the year of rest. This is the year of rest. And the Lord spoke to me, this is also the year of 5775. So we have 2 5s and 2 7s. 5 is the number of grace. It's the letter He. And the letter He represents a window. So God said, you have a window of time. See, window of time But see, even the breath of God and the Ruach goes through the window. You just have to open the window. Daniel opened the window and prayed, didn't he? He wasn't afraid to let everybody know who he was and who his God was. He did not hide.
Yeah.
You have to open the window, and the Ruach will come into you, and you can pray to the Holy Spirit. You can pray to God, and you can pray in the Holy Ghost. So here we have this window is the hay. So you have two, and it's the number five, and the number five is the number of grace. We have grace. So the Lord spoke to me. He says, this year is a year of double grace, okay? Now the other numbers is seven, two sevens, two sevens. The seven is the Zayin. So we have two sevens, and I think about the two-edged sword that talks about in the New Testament. I also think about rest. God, the rest is the seven. Is God's number. He rested. He said he rested on the seventh day. You can read that right here in the book of Genesis, how important the seventh day is. God never stopped the seventh day from being the Sabbath. It's always been the Sabbath. It always will be the Sabbath. It'll be the Sabbath in heaven. So he's always... It represents something. It represents rest. It represents warfare because the Zayin is a sword.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the sword of the
Spirit.
Spirit of God, don't
sure,
we?
Sure do.
So we have the sword of the Spirit of God. Woo, shata taboko shotata. And we have a tongue of fire. And God also told me that this is a year of fire. And this is a year of the whirlwind. And if you don't stay in the center of that whirlwind, you're going to get burnt up and you're going to get destroyed. Because there's going to be many fires. I believe there's going to be a lot of fires, actual fires this year. But we need to stay in the peace of God, in the rest of God. And the only place to stay there is to stay in the center of God's presence. Stay
right.
In his presence. And that would be a picture of staying in the, you know, we have hurricanes here in Florida. Well, we had several here. We lost our house to one. But when the hurricane halfway goes over, it's totally, you think it's over with.
It's calm.
Oh, it's calm. Oh, I go back outside. Well, you go back outside in a few minutes, you're going to get blown away.
It comes around the other way.
You got to stay in. Even when it looks like things are getting calm, you can go out. No, we need to always stay in the peace of God. And because there's a whirlwind. And some is for destruction and some is for to bringing peace to people that they can stay in that peace in the midst of a fire, the midst of a storm of your life, you can find peace in God. But you have to, you can't get out and start worrying about things. See, worry brings on fear, and fear is sin, and fear brings on the enemy, and fear is an open door for the enemy or an open window for the enemy to come in. We want to have an open window for God's Spirit to be moving in and out in us. Amen. So here we have the double seven, which to me is like, it's what it talks about in Genesis, it's rest. So we have double double rest, and the seven also means warfare. The Zayin is a sword, and there's going to be double warfare. That means prayer. There's going to be double, we need to, the prayer needs to be raised double. We need to increase in prayer, and learn to be able to stand in prayer and not to get weary. And not to fall asleep and not to give up. We have to press in. We have to press on and do those things that God's called us. So here we have this year, 5775, double grace, double warfare, rest.
Good.
God wants us to have that. He's given us double grace.
That's good.
But we got to stay in the place of peace,
mm-hmm.
and the place of rest, or we won't have it. If we don't stay in the place of rest and we get out of God's rest, then we're going to get bombarded by things of the world and things that happen. I mean, I know so many people are struggling in their relationships. How about that? How about just in your home? How about your relationship with your children,
with
your
husband,
with your wife, with your family, with your church, with your friends? You know, that's exactly what the enemy wants to come and bring. He wants to bring
confusion,
separation.
Yeah.
Dissension,
misunderstanding,
dissension.
Yeah.
All these little things, and you know, they creep in. And they creep in and you don't even realize it until it happens, until something is said, a word is said, or something is done. Then that dissension has started to swirl.
Right.
So when that dissension starts swirling in that whirlwind, you know, things can get worse for you. But if we come back to that place of rest and we stay in God's authority and do what God has called us to do, then we can have rest no matter what else is going on in our life or in the world today. You know, we see all this stuff on the news and everything else, but we still need to stay in God's rest because God is ultimately in control. and he knows it. You know, and even we see in this book of Genesis, the first killing, violence, Hamas.
That's right.
Two brothers.
That's right. First murder in the Bible.
First murder. He went to talk to his brother. So I don't think he had a thought of killing him. But see, the talk out of our mouth, what comes out of our mouth? Good or bad, right?
That's
cursing
right.
or blessing. Bible uh-huh. tells about that. He went to talk to his brother, but you know what? His anger rised up in him.
That's right.
He had a spirit of anger. He had a spirit of Hamas. Right from the beginning,
yep.
there was a division there. Because
violence.
Because violence. Because God said, you're going to know good and evil. Well, what did he turn to? He turned to evil. His brother was good. And he brought the right offering. See, God even shows us in the very beginning, the right offering, the only offering that will cover sin.
That's right.
What did God cover Adam and Eve with? He had to give an animal. He didn't go and pull some of the vegetables up out of the garden.
Yeah, like they covered themselves with fig leaves to start with.
They tried to do that.
That's right.
They thought they would take the natural. They would take the natural things, but see, there's something about blood.
That's right.
And that the blood is the life is in the blood.
Blood of Yeshua.
Here, God had to. The Godhead had to take this animal, and for their sin and cover them with those skins. So all these things, if we go back to the beginning, we start to see, and our eyes will start to open, up to things that what is said, and what Paul said, and what Jesus said, and what Peter said, and what it says in the New Testament. We'll see that there's a connection. There's a connection all the way through. But you know, we really have to go back to the beginning to find the right, to find the line. Even the generations of the people, which I don't probably have time to talk about this right now, but I'm excited about seeing the generations, because he says here, in chapter 5 it says, because remember we're supposed to be reading through 6-8, this is the book of the generations of Adam. So there were generations of Adam. He's going to talk about the 10 generations of Adam. So this was a dispensation, I would call, of time. I don't know if that would be the right word. But see, there were 10 generations. And he names all of them. Now, all of these people had other children, but see, there was only one that carried on the generation.
That's right. It's like a legacy.
And that's
isn't it?
The key.
That's right.
There's only one that carries on the generation
yeah.
of that's taken us to the next place, because you had to have the right generation for Noah to come, because
yeah.
he was the only one righteous in his time. Doesn't mean he was as righteous as these back here. They were probably more righteous, but in his time, he was righteous, because everyone, there was so much wickedness going on in the world, and that God even repented, that he even created.
He found favor in God's
man,
eyes, right?
But he found favor. So we read about the generations of Adam. See, it says the generations of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know there's 10 generations.
Up to Noah.
Mm-hmm. And so here we have Noah is the 10th generation. And what did God use Noah for? Well, that goes into the next reading. He had a father, and you know, and even Methuselah. Methuselah lived, was the oldest man that ever lived. How long did he live?
68 years or something.
A lot of years. But
yeah.
he died.
Yeah,
he died.
He finally died.
He died before the flood.
Yeah.
He died before the flood. And it says, I think that you've taught this before, right after that, the flood came. See,
Methuselah's name means.
Means okay.
When he is gone, it will come.
When he is gone, it will come. What will come?
The flood came right after that.
They didn't know that.
They didn't know
it. And you know, even good old Noah built that ark on dry land. He had to do that by faith. You know, everything we do, we have to do by faith. So we can go right back here and say, well, you know, Noah did this by faith. And he didn't see the water. He didn't see the rain. It had never rained.
Nope.
It had never rained. So he didn't see the water. He didn't see the rain. He just listened to God, and he built that ark on dry ground. And I'm sure all the people thought he was crazy.
Sure, because it never rained.
Mocking him. How many people mock you because of what you believe?
That's right.
How many people mock you because you say, you better, you know, there's a hell to shun,
right.
and there's a heaven to gain. And people say, well, I don't believe in hell. This is hell on earth. I've heard people say that to me. You know, this is not hell. You may be miserable, but this is not hell.
That's right.
Hell has fire. It's burning.
It's burning.
With fire, and it will burn forever. And it says the worms don't die.
That's right.
So
Anyway, Methuselah lived 969 years.
969 years.
The oldest man that ever lived. Nobody made 1,000 years, did they?
And he died, right? Right. So here God had all of these people. It mentions the one generation which would lead to the next generation, even though all these generations had, these people had a lot of children. What about Enoch? Yep. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. See, he had to beget Methuselah before God says, well, you know, I really want to take, I'm just talking here. You know, God says, Enoch just walks with me. He listens to me. He talks with me. I've got such fellowship with Enoch. Oh, I'd love to have him here with me, you know. But he had to wait. He couldn't take him until he begat Methuselah, because Methuselah was the next one that would bring on Lamech, and Lamech was the one that would bring on his Noah, who had a work to do to build an ark.
Noah had three sons, that's right.
Yes, amen. And so here we have, these are the generation of Adam. Even though at that time there were thousands of people already on the earth, but they were wicked. Many, many, many of their sons are wicked. You know, a husband and wife can have two children. Adam and Eve had two children, right?
Right.
One was good and one was bad.
That's
one was
right.
Evil and one was
righteous with
righteous with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the righteous one was killed. Wow. And that, right, we can even look at that, because that's a picture of Yeshua.
That's right. Adam, or I should say, Abel is really a picture of Yeshua, and Cain's a picture of the devil.
That's right.
He came to what? To kill the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to Cain? He was cursed, and he was sent out in the world like a vagabond. Well, the devil's mm-hmm. running around like a vagabond now, getting involved with anybody
that's
who
right.
can to destroy them.
Glory to God. So so if you want this copy of this, the reading for the book of Genesis for throughout the year, just give us a call. We'd be glad to send it to you. If you'd like a calendar, we'd be glad to send it to you. And if you'd like to come and visit us, or you want to talk to us, just give us a call. We're running out of time. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
This
and
great outreach we're working with
standard.
All this program for
yes.
you folks.
Amen. I hope you were blessed by this, our little chat with you today. And we're just blessed to be here every Saturday at 12 noon. We're also on the internet. You can listen to us on the internet. You can go back and listen to this program again on WCNO.com. And if you happen to be driving and you want to hear us when you get back to wherever you may live, in the country or the world, you can just go to WCNO.com and you can listen to this program, or there's many others that we have done in the past, or you can listen to us every Saturday through the internet instead of through the radio. So our telephone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we have services here in Stuart, Florida on Sunday and Friday.
Anyway, we're glad to be here. We're here because we want to raise the standard of the body of Christ. And I think about this, you know, the radio is such a great outreach ministry, Pastor
Amen.
Donna, because it'll touch more people than we could ever do in our city individually.
Amen.
But when it goes out over the airways and different people listen, people's hearts will get touched. And one day
That's
we'll
right.
find out in heaven how many people have been touched by what we've been revealed to them on this program by the Spirit of God. So we love you. We tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.